Blog Talk Radio.
It is now the 8:30 hour on Wednesday night. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It is always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God, where God has allowed us this platform where we come and join ourselves together to explore the Word of God. I thank God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come to hear what God has to say to us on the night through His written Word. We are in the midst of a storm. The report has gone out. But I just want to tell you tonight, I'm going to listen to the report of man, but I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. No matter what's going on, God's got it. God is in control. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our lesson tonight, the title is, The Devil is a Liar. Do you believe it tonight? The devil is a liar. And we coming from the book of Matthew's, the 4th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verse. As always, we play a song, giving God praise and honor. And then we come back and go to God's throne of grace, where mercy can be found. So at this time, I'll play the song, be back to go into prayer, and then we'll expound on the Word of God together.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. Great and He's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
His
strength where I've been weak.
Forever
He'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever He'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know He's awesome, say. Come on and lift your voice.
Savior of the whole world,
giver of salvation,
by His stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise His holy name. Come on and testify, you know He's awesome. Say it.
Awesome. Awesome.
praise his holy name. Somebody ought to celebrate the arms of God.
That song was just a reminder to remind us how awesome our God is. God could do anything but fail. God has all power everywhere at the same time and is all knowing. God, such an awesome God. See, in times like this, we need a Savior. You got to have something to hold on to. You got to have something bigger than you in your life. You got to. Or you're going to be tossed and driven by the wind on every side. Because this world does not love nobody. And I come to tell you tonight that evil does what evil is. Evil is what evil does. And evil is still going to be doing the evil things, collecting consequences brought on by sin, which is a part of evil. Hallelujah. But God is a good God. As the songwriter say, he's an awesome God. And we just have to hold on to God's unchanging hand as we walk through these issues of life facing us on every side. And with God, remember, my sisters and brothers, we can make it. God has promised us that every day is going to be all right, that he's working things out together for our good. He's holding back the weapons that's forming against us. He's directing and arranging and rearranging us into the intended purpose that he had for us before the foundation of the world. And it shall be accomplished. And how far and how fast we go depends on us. God is doing his part. And it's up to us to do ours. Hallelujah. And at this time, it's time to pray. God is affording us the opportunity, and I afford the opportunity to anybody on the line who would like to pray at this time. You could press the one button on your phone. I was on a Bible study line early, and a lady said something that I thought was so profound. She said, prayers is the road to heaven, and faith is what unlocks the door. So at this time, it's time to pray. Anyone would like to pray? Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our High Tower. Some say that he's a will inside of a will. He is the great I am, the beginning of all beginnings and the end to all ends. He's our Heavenly Father and we are his children. He's the one that was a love of our soul, and we know it because he gave his son that whosoever believes could have eternal life. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of you and I if we accepted his son. So Heavenly Father, I'm just coming to you tonight as we attempt to study your word. Lord, your word told us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God, that's what we're trying to do on tonight. And Holy Spirit, I let you know that we come with a spirit of expectancy. We expecting that you show up and that you speak through me for your people on tonight, dear God. I decrease and they increase. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Have your way with this lesson on tonight, Holy Spirit, that the people that hear it open up their ears and let the word penetrate their heart, that they may be doers and not just hearers. Bless each and every one of them who take time, dear God, and come on the line so that we could fellowship one with another, because we are the body of Christ. Each one is partakers in the household of faith. God, you say you never intended for anyone to do anything alone, and we have gathered together in fellowship week after week after week. And for that, God, we say thank you. Thank you for everything you have done on this line, everything you're doing tonight, and everything you promised to do in the future. God, you didn't bring us this far to leave us. And God, you have been with us every step of the way. And I know it, dear God. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. Well, I'm going to tell the title of the lesson again because others have come on the line. Praise God. The title of our lesson tonight is The Devil is a Liar. You got to believe it to achieve it. And you would never know and understand the lies of the devil if you don't know the word of God. Tonight, the scriptures is going to show us that. We're coming from the book of Matthew, the 4th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verse. And I always do a little background, so I want to talk a little time about Jesus. You see, when we examine the life of Jesus, we see that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. His earthly parents was Mary and Joseph. And his heavenly father was God himself. You see, it's not much more we can say or see through the word of God until he was 12 years old. Y'all know when they went to pay their pilgrimage in Jerusalem, and on the way back, he stayed and was in the temple and astonished all of the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees with his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and truth. And then we see Jesus the next time when he goes to be baptized. It's amazing. See, God has a time and a place and a season for what he do. Some people may say, why wasn't Jesus all filtrated all through the New Testament? But Jesus is filtrated all through the Bible, even in the Old Testament. The first announcement of his coming is in Genesis 3 and 15. But you got to know him to know what you read is who they talking about. You see, Jesus was baptized. And then he began his ministry that was given to him by the Father. You see, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Hallelujah. And this was the first act of his public ministry. You see, John's baptism was of repentance. And although Jesus did not need, hallelujah, to repent because he knew no sin, but he considered an order to identify himself with sinners. In fact, when John spoke that Jesus wanted to be baptized by him, he couldn't understand it. He didn't feel worthy. And he probably figured Jesus should be baptizing him. But Jesus said, it is proper for me to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So John did as requested. You see, you can find that in Matthew 13 and 15. You see, in his baptism, so you say Jesus didn't need to repent because he knew no sin. So what was the baptism of him all about? He had already stated so he could identify with sinners. But the other part was that he will forgive those sins of those sinners, and he would soon bear them on the cross, where he would exchange his righteousness for their sins. You see, the baptism of Christ symbolizes his death and resurrection. And it lets us know we have to die to self. See, Jesus was fully man, human, but he was fully God. You see, it was done in public because God wanted to authenticate who his son was. See, God gives us evidence. God just didn't want us to, but wanted the people to believe it was Jesus. So God set up the stage with the baptism. Hallelujah. Jesus went and John the Baptist finally agreed, and John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And when Jesus came up, the Father in heaven spoke and said, "This is my son who I'm well pleased, whom I love, and with him I'm pleased." That scripture, y'all, Matthew 3:17. Another thing about Jesus' baptism, it was the first time, that's why I say Jesus, God, set up this scene. It was the first time that the whole Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost appeared. You see, the Son was baptized. The Father spoke. And the Holy Spirit ascended like a dove. Hallelujah. You see, the Father commanded. The Son obeyed, and the Holy Spirit empowerment presence painted a beautiful picture of the ministry and life of Jesus Christ. I put this background here about Jesus being baptized because I'm going to bring you through the scriptures. I'm telling you this the first time. This is when this was the beginning of his ministry. And I'm going to show you what happened after Jesus was baptized, received the power of the Holy Ghost and the pledge of his Father. So I gave that little background to bring you right into the scriptures. And verse 1 said, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Hallelujah. I hope y'all caught that and read that. It said Jesus was led up by the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit brought him to Satan in a sense, because the Spirit, God knew that Satan wanted to tempt him. And he was led by the Spirit to show up with this temptation. You see, God has control. See, Satan thinking he's controlling everything. But the scripture tells us that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. You see, here we see that Jesus being tempted by Satan. And I want to let you know tonight, if Satan tempt Jesus, then what about us? You can understand from the above scripture that this happened soon after the Spirit ascended on Jesus at his baptism. You see, Jesus' ministry didn't begin until after his baptism. Most Christians do not realize that the minute you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, temptation comes from every side. Many times you hear somebody who finally gave their life to Christ and began to try to walk in obedience to Christ, And they say, soon as I gave my life to Christ, everything in my life started getting topsy-turvy. Well, you see, he did it to Jesus. So he'll do it to us. But in this lesson tonight, we're going to learn how Jesus resists. And I pray you use the same pattern in your life because it's going to come. You see, the devil believed that under heavy temptations, we will not be able to withstand. He believed that just like Adam and Eve fell into temptation in a garden. You see, the Satan, you know how they say God doesn't change? God doesn't change because he don't want to change. But Satan doesn't change because he can't change. Satan have one bag of tricks. The standards of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Satan come to you the same way he always did. He don't come up with nothing new. He might bring things to you like maybe your mama did it. And because your mama did it, he figure if he dangle it in front of your eyes, you'll do it too. Because after all, your mama did it and you don't think she's so bad maybe. Many times, you know, People have abuse, spousal abuse in their home, and the children see it, and the children may be distraught by it, but it's amazing when they get grown and Satan start putting the tricks in their head. One of the things they start doing is becoming an abuser. Satan don't change. He only have a three-bag trick. He did it to Adam and Eve. He's trying to do it with Jesus. You see, this verse also vindicates what is said and how we could trust Jesus as he sat on the right hand of the Father. That Jesus went through the same things we did. He felt all of our infirmities. He know how people spit on you. He know how people don't like you just because he walked in our shoes, which make him the perfect Savior. So there's a scripture in Hebrews 4:15 that says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just like we were, yet without sin. There are so many people say that Jesus couldn't sin. He had a human nature. And by being by the Virgin Mary, he was wrapped up in flesh. And flesh is where sin dwells. That's why we got to get this flesh suit off of us and place on a corrupt or incorruptible body when Jesus come back again. Yes, Jesus could have sinned, but he decided to be obedient to his Father, even unto death. Glory, hallelujah. And if we look at verses 2, 3, and 4, they said, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. He who, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You see, Satan trying to place doubt in Jesus. You see, most temptation come when we are at our weakest point or when we are alone, usually. You see, in the case of Jesus, here the devil realized that Jesus had not eaten for 40 days. He tempted Jesus at his point of need. What the devil didn't realize that while fasting, God feeds our inner man. You see, the devil approached Jesus with the question, as he did with Eve, if thou be the Son of Man. He was trying to place doubt to make Jesus say, am I really the one? But you see, that's the same trick Satan used on us, planting doubt. So we began doubting who we are in Christ Jesus. Sometimes he used others. You ain't all that. You don't do everything right. You think you so holy. You see, but Jesus set the example for us with his answer. He said, it is written. He used the word of God when he answered. You see, our answer when the devil or our own lust tempts us should be, it is written. And see, when he said, if, really, it carries a meaning of really since. So Satan was really saying, since you are the Son of God. You see, he was telling, if you really God's son, use that power and turn this stone into bread. See, he was talking about, he was tempting Jesus to do what he wanted him to do with signs and wonders. But you see, God ain't trying to get us with the signs and wonders. He's trying to get us through our heart. Hallelujah. You see, the victory in each aspect of temptation. Jesus used the scripture. And that's what he said, man shall not live by bread alone, is found in Deuteronomy 8:3. See, Jesus used the word of God. And what he was saying by that was the source of the bread, hallelujah, y'all, is more important than the bread itself. Do you believe it tonight? The source of the bread is more important than the bread. You see, later Jesus would say in another verse, in another book, he said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of, John 4:32. You see, his source of strength was obedient to the Father's will, and he would not even work a miracle to avoid personal suffering when such suffering was a part of God's purpose for him. Do you hear what he said? He was going to fulfill it. Jesus know he came to suffer. So doing an act like that was take away what the word of God said. Then, you know, he was telling us, we are instructed to eat the word of God. Our source of help in every situation is to have the word of God so engraved in our inner being that we will be able to draw our strength from the word. The word of God is your strength. The word of God is your help in time of troubles. The word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light to your pathway. You see, our mind is either talking us into doing something or talking us out of doing something. But if we use the word of God, it would always turn us in the right direction. Hallelujah. Verses 5, 6, and 7. It said, then the devil taken him up to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. You know, that's the highest place. And that's on the outside of the temple. He knew better than to go in the inside because that's where God's presence was. Look what he did. The devil had taken him to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. The highest point of the outside. It has meaning, y'all. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Now, he's going to try to use Jesus on Jesus. Look what he said. For it is written. He's gonna tell Jesus, use what Jesus say, it is written. So now he wanna pull up a word to give to Jesus to try to make him doubt. So look what Satan say. Cast thyself down, for it is written. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy feet against the stone. Now he's gonna pick up a word of God and speak it all out of context and think Jesus don't have enough sense to know it. But you see, he could use those things on people who don't do as 2 Timothy 2:15 says, to study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. You see, if you don't have no word in you, if someone give you the word wrong, misquote, leave something out, wrong interpretation, you will be wrong. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see, he gave him a scripture. And we know the devil is a liar. But you see, we can't tempt God. We have to watch how we do things. Because I'll give it to you like this. Sometimes people will do what they want to do. And then they expect God to show up because God said, I'll never leave you. God say, I got your back. I'm working it out. But don't tempt God. One of the things that I remember the last time I thought about it a lot, and I'm going to throw it in, when coronavirus came and they was expressing about age and underlying conditions, and it was really running havoc in the world, not just in the United States, but in the whole world. You know what I'm saying? And black people was getting it left and right, or more than the white counterparts. So one of the things I decided to social distance. And, you know, and then when you didn't go to church, many people say it, well, what, you don't believe God, you don't trust God. I put them in a category with Satan because I will come back as Jesus said and say it is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, I would have went out there and I would have had all expectations in my mind that if I got the virus, God had to heal me. But we have to use common sense and we have to not tempt God. If you know you got, you know the situation may put you in harm's way and you go to do it and then you expect God to show up and he can. But why tempt him? He gave us 5 senses. He wants us to use common sense as well. So I say that to say that, you know, or somebody are taking and get a deal on a car, and the car is very expensive, and they know their income can't pay it. And they'll say, well, God gave it to me, you know, he's going to make it all right. So they doing this that doesn't make sense, but yet they going to expect God to show up and make this miracle happen that they keep it and things like that. But we can't let our action be tempting to God. The word of God says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see, when this 5, 6, and 7 started, it started off with the word then. It simply meant that the devil gave up on the first temptation. He tried it, Jesus resists, and he walked away. But now he come with another one because he ain't ready to give up. You see, It was in a holy city in Jerusalem. And it was on the outside because he had heard that God's presence was in the holiest in the inside. He wasn't ready for that battle, sneaking. So he set Jesus up on the pinnacle to try to get him to change his mind. Now, like I said earlier, he tried to quote the scripture. He quoted a scripture, that Psalms 91:11-12. And the actual scripture says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in thy ways." And 12, "And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone." So that's what he did. And then Jesus turned around with a scripture that puts that in perspective. See, we have to put scriptures in perspective and do precept upon precept and make it line up. So Jesus came back with a scripture, "Thou shall not tempt the Lord thy God." You see, Jesus could have headlong threw himself off the temple to show signs and wonder, but God is looking for the heart. Y'all got to remember, Jesus is a counterfeiter. And Jesus talked about false prophets, false teachers, Christ, Antichrist. He said, when they come, look what he said, "For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would have deceived all of the elect." That's Jesus talking in Matthew 24:24. Signs and wonders. They're going to be producing signs and wonders out here. They got some preachers right now to speak so elegant and to make your head swim. But does it line up? And that's how you lead away. He said he could lead away even the very elect. But you got to be sharp. You got to know for yourself. You see, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. "Again, the devil taking him up into exceedingly high mountain and showed them the kingdom of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him," now this is the devil trying to make a deal. Let's make a deal with Jesus. "All these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Now he going fall. We see his bags of trick when he offered Jesus bread for the hunger. That was the lust of the flesh. You see, flesh get hungry and need to eat. And then he brought him on a high pinnacle of the church and showed him, of the temple, and showed him what he showed him. He was trying to get Jesus to fall in a real standard of pride. You see, "All these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." He told him, "Come and see." The lust of the eyes. Satan was using his street trick bag wonder, y'all, because that's all he has. "All these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus come back and tell him, glory, hallelujah. 10, "Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve." Each time the devil came to Jesus, Jesus used the word of God. And 11, then the devil leaved him, and behold, the angels came and administered unto him. If Satan tempt Jesus, what about us, y'all? We gonna be tempted. The book of James said when we fall into the divers of temptations, he didn't say if we fall, he said when we fall. God used this to give us an example of how we should deal with temptations. And, it, you know, with this one here, Satan had the audacity to try to tempt Jesus, saying he would give him the kingdoms of the world. Jesus knew who he was. Hey, Jesus know he is the king of the world. See, you got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Jesus was really talking about Deuteronomy again. Thou shalt not go after other gods or other gods of the people which are around about you. Jesus was using Deuteronomy because that was the time when the children of Israel was in the wilderness. He's relating to the wilderness experience and that he is experiencing at this time. Hallelujah. He even used Deuteronomy 8:2, and you shall remember the Lord thy God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you. See, Jesus was going through a test. Temptation is another word for test. To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep my commandments or not, unlike them. But Jesus was able to withstand every aspect of the test. We can see from these scriptures that Satan increased what he offered each time, and that's what he does to us. See, he might come with a little bit in his hand, but if he's really after, he's going to bring more. That's like one of his things, greed, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of eyes. He gets you to get a little bit, and then you want more. So you see, every time he tempted Jesus, he went up a little bit more. He put more, he threw a little bit more in the pot to no avail. He thought that if he offered Jesus the whole world as his kingdom, that Jesus would jump along with the greatest offering came, it would have been a great sin. He would have had to fall down and worship Satan. And let's look at this, y'all. Many times we could get ourselves out of trouble by using common sense. Jesus knew. The scripture says, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and all that dwells therein. Jesus knew it wasn't Satan to give in the first place. He was perpetrating. Yet Satan is the prince of the world, the prince of the air. And he has some control on earth, limited, what God allows him. So it wasn't his to give in the first place. And many things he's offering us. You see, Satan offer you everything. And it's amazing. Soon as you hit rock bottom or you get to no avail or nowhere else to run or nowhere else to hide or you get so cornered and you get trapped, Satan walk away. He set you up to fail. Sin promised more than he could ever give. And that's what Satan was trying to do with Jesus in these scriptures. Satan didn't even know that Jesus is going to come and take the earth back for mankind, the New Jerusalem. Everything on burn with a fervent heat. That's what the book of Revelation says. And he didn't want it, you know, and Satan was probably, this just came to me, thank you, Holy Ghost. Satan was probably trying to trick Jesus because of the fact that Jesus knew he was going to take the earth back. So, you know, if Jesus wasn't sharp, he might have thought this was the way to get control of the earth, the world at that time. But he knew he wasn't going to do it by compromising his fate with the devil. He's going to take it back through the victory on the cross. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, happy day. Sometimes it's difficult to recognize the enemy. There's movies that say sleeping with the enemy. God even told us that he would take care of our enemies and our foe, F-O-E. Because the foes is the ones that you think is all right with you. They're the ones that could get you the most, because you see your enemy, you could keep guard on them. But a foe, you let them be in your company. You just tell them, you know, you just be around them and they could get you. You see? But Jesus had no trouble recognizing him, standing against him, and then removing him. Get the hint, Satan. It's amazing. He tried trick one. He tried trick two. He tried trick three. He knew he wasn't going to win. So what he did, he walked away. And that's what he do with us if we keep resisting. But if we give in, he's going to keep putting the temptation in front of us. See, we should take a lesson from this. Anything that is not pleasing to God is sin. In the statement made by Jesus, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. We see that we must never serve Satan or sin. We must walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Now, we live in a world that's ruled by Satan. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we have on a flesh suit. There's a war going on daily between the spirit and the flesh. And I come to tell you tonight, sometimes the spirit wins and sometimes the flesh wins. But we have to keep pressing. And we can't give up. And we press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. God is letting us know he's not looking for our perfection. Because I come to tell you tonight, if we could have been perfect in our deeds and our thoughts, our will and our way, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. No, they're not one. The scripture says we all fall short of the glory of God. But we have to press our way through. That's why some of the things in our life, we can attest to that. The things I used to do, I don't do anymore. But we all are work in progress. And there are some things in us that still need to be moved, and it could be done with the help of God. And if we do like Jesus did, use the word of God, it is written. And keep in front of us and always remember, the devil is a liar. The devil is subject to the command of Jesus, and he had to leave. The Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. After Jesus said what he said and Satan left, the angels came and ministered unto him. The Psalms 91:11-12, that Satan had put a little misquote and used up early to have Jesus tempt God. Jesus didn't tempt God. He passed the test, and the angels came and ministered unto him. You see, this verse tried to twist. Satan tried to twist, but was fulfilled in God's way and in God's perfect timing. Hallelujah, y'all. That's our lesson for tonight. Anyone have any comments or anything they would like to say at this time? You could press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic. I want to thank each and every one of you for your participation on tonight. And I want to give a special thanks to Jada Porter, my daughter, for tuning in. And everybody, thank you for tuning in. And at this time, if anyone would like to do a benediction, you can press the one button on your phone. Call it Minister Elyria Mackey. Your mic is open.
I hit my one button earlier, but it wouldn't go through. Just want to do a song of encouragement. And I'll close out afterwards. You've been waiting on a blessing. It seems it just won't come. Doors are shut, pain everywhere. It seems that you are done. The devil is a liar, and he deceives God is not through. God is not through. My God is not through. You've been waiting on deliverance. It seems it just won't come. Body's sick, pain everywhere. It seems nobody cares. But I tell you, the devil is a liar. And it can see what you God is not through. My God is not through. My God is not through. Yes, to you. God is not through. Bless you. God is not through. Bless you. What God. We thank you, Lord God. Because truly you're not through blessing us, oh God. Your word declares when praises go up, blessings come down. So all we do is stand fast and be unmovable, always abiding in the works of the Lord. For as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And God, I do thank you for each one that was on tonight, Lord God. For my sisters and brothers all across the land, oh God, all across the nations, Lord, from the north, south, east, and the west, Lord, we do reverence you. We magnify and glorify you. And God, I lift up families unto you tonight, Lord God. Those that have loved ones have gone on, oh God. I ask that you would bind a broken horse right now in the mighty name of Jesus and give the peace of God as only you can. The peace will pass it all understanding. And God, we thank you, Lord God, for Minister Diane, Lord, and we thank you for keeping each and every last one of us until we meet again on next Wednesday, Lord. I ask that your love would abide with each and every one of us. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen, and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Minister Mackey. Thank you so much. Because this is our Bible study. God had fixed it to be this way. All of us have the opportunity to participate. But I thank you for the closing, and I thank you so much for the song. And if that's it for tonight, and if it's God's will and your desire, you will meet back on Wednesday at the 8:30 hour to lift up the name of Jesus, to glorify him, to grow in grace and knowledge of him, and let it penetrate our hearts and minds, that we may not sin against him as we go through life pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. So until then, I pray that God be with each and every one of you, that you have peace that surpasses all understanding, that your joy will remain full, and that you will have the grace and protection of God in and through your life. And I thank God right now. The weather has ceased. The wind has stopped blowing. The rain where I live has stopped. I thank God. The prayers that went up to God, God answered prayers. And I don't know if it's over for good for tonight, but I know it's over now. It's just, it's clear. No rain, no wind. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And until next week, I have to say, God be with you. Let you know.